what you want us to see.
We pray that Pastor would be able to speak your word as you want it to happen. We pray that we would just be able to have a good time and enjoy it. Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I know it's Wednesday. I'll do my best to help shake you up a little bit. So there's a couple things I want to look at in this text with you. The first one is the first two verses. Sometimes if you pause long enough and look at how some verses run into each other, they may appear to be two separate things, but they're not. And it adds more meaning and more depth sometimes to what we're reading. And so the Lord begins this text talking about our treasures. Now, I'm not going to even waste my time trying to help you believe me when we talk about treasures. You know what they are. You either live for them or you don't. Some of you live to shop. That's your passion. Your passion is not Link Group. Your passion is not prayer on Friday nights. Your passion is shopping. Some of you, you live for your jobs. Can I preach? Your passion is not, it's not revival. It's not a building program. It's how much you can make so you can make sure you have a good nest egg when you retire. But Jesus, not Pastor Arderi, Jesus said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on this earth. Why? Because they rot, they decay, they get stolen, they wear out, they break, all that good stuff. He said, but lay up treasures in heaven where there is no moths that can take over, there's no rats that will eat it, chew it up, chew up the wiring, eat from your counter, whatever. And he says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Your treasures, if you need some explanation, they are ambitions, desires. And they'll cause you to see differently than God's vision for your life and for the church. You see, that's why these two verses run together. That's why we begin by talking about our treasures and don't lay up treasures on this earth, lay up treasures in heaven, because your treasures will cause you to see differently than what God wants you to see. They'll cause your heart to be elsewhere. And I'll try to really kind of firm that up a little bit in a moment. And you will see what you want to see and not what God is calling you to see. It's not difficult. We live in a day of distraction. We say it all the time. It's the worst reality that we live with. It's distraction, distraction. I watch week after week. It's not unique to our church. Most churches don't even do altar calls, so they can't say anything. But I watch people up here chit-chatting and talking at the altar all the time, laughing with their neighbor and their friend, joking around. And I think, what do you think you're here for? What are you trying to accomplish? Whether you're 14 or 40, when we come to this altar, it is should be our mission to tap into the heartbeat of God, to understand and find what God wants for my life. And so you begin to see differently. But you see, with a church, there can never be more than one vision. Let me say it one more time. There can never be more than one vision. Why? Because if you have more than one vision, you have chaos. Now, if you did not know, you have two eyes stuck in the very front of your face. And there's two things I want to point out to you about those eyes. Number one, when you look out them, it looks like you only have one eye. You can't even really see the bridge of your nose. Because God placed those two eyeballs. Now, why would he give us two? Well, I would say in case one breaks down. Really. But those two eyes see as one eye. There's a lot of lesson here for us to gain if we desire it, if we want it. Now, if you don't know this, your body will move wherever your eye sees. Your body is regulated in movement by your eyesight. So if you want to go back there, your eyes have to see it before your body moves. And while you're going back there, you want your eyes, and thank God for peripheral vision, to see to your left and to your right to make sure you don't trip off over someone's leg or their foot or a chair that's sticking out. Your eyes are responsible to get the body where it's got to go. That's why in the home, if you have division between husband and wife, and two people are seeing two different things, from how we raise the children all the way to how we spend the money, and as far as where we're going to live, what state, what city, what town, what climate, whatever, you will have division, and you'll never be able to see clearly for your home, which is what God desired us to do, the home to be one. That's why when your husband and wife are married, it says you two become one flesh. One flesh. Because you cannot see differently. You've got to learn to see what each other sees. And God does something when we become, when I believe when we take our marital vows, it's a, oh God, I wish I could preach, but we got some young people here. We got some young kids in here tonight. I think marriage is a whole lot more than going and getting it on. It's a whole lot more. Marriage is about building a life together. And to build a life together, that doesn't mean you go buy a house together. That's not building a life together. Because you could both see differently. That's why you got to be of the same faith. That's why you got to have the same vision, the same desires. Now, if both of you have worldly desires and ambitions, your home might, you might look whole in the world's eyes, but you're going to be a wreck in God's eyes. Because God never gave us vision for ourselves. That's why the Bible teaches us where there's no vision, the people will perish. And so he goes for treasures to the light of the body is the eye, not eyes. Not eyes, singular. The light of the body is the eye. Because concerning our physical eyes, they've got to see as one eye. Or you'll have chaos and calamity. And then it says, if therefore thine eye be single. Now here we are still talking about singular, but single, singular. It seems like an oxymoron, but it's not. Because you've got to see one way, and if your collective vision comes together and sees one vision, and there's only way one way that happens, and I'll explain it to you in a few moments. If thine eye be single, then thy whole body shall be full of light. Now, when you think of light, just think of vision. Think of excitement. Think of drive. Think of energy. Think of joy, whatever. So I'm going to regulate this down to right now just for the sake of this message to the church. If thine eye be single, if we all are seeing the same thing, thy whole body will be full of light. Now, who is light? He is light. He is the light of the world. So I would say to you that if the church will have one collective vision, when people come in these doors, they will see very clearly who Jesus is. They will feel his presence, his power, his glory. But thine eye must be single first. It cannot be separated. Then he says, but if thine eye be evil, so watch this. You probably didn't catch this. The opposite of single eye is evil. If you're not seeing the same, it's evil. He didn't say if your eyes are operated separately, if thine eye is seeing double, if thine eye is seeing triple. He just said, if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? So Jesus begins by talking about our treasures. Why? Because your treasures will cause you to see differently from the body. It will cause you to see differently from the collective vision that God has given to the church. And you will see what you want to see, not what God wants you to see. That's why some people never find the might in the mind in the heart of God. And so remember that the body follows the eye. The church will go where the eye sees. But there's got to be one vision. Now, I want to say that our discipline has to match our vision. And I'm going to explain that. God can give us a vision, but without discipline, you have nothing because you will not be able to fulfill the vision. An example would be if you're married or you're going to get married and you say, well, you know, I'd like to buy a house. No, I'm not ready to buy a house. Or, okay, where are we going to move? I want to move to the city. No, I want the country. So if you don't have the discipline to pull the two of you together, somebody's got to capitulate. That's how marriages work. When I get preaching on marriage, I want to go, but I just can't. Somebody's got to give in. And I will go so far as to say the man must be the head of the church. Now watch this, of the home, not the eyes. God gives the man the vision for his home when he is following the Lord with all of his heart. God will help you to see what God wants for your family. But you cannot have husband and wife seeing things differently. You can't do it. And when you do, you have chaos and you have irreconcilable differences. Biggest crock anybody ever come up with. You can reconcile anything you want to. Anything. If I step on your toes a little bit, I'm not meaning to. And so if we don't have discipline, if the church doesn't have discipline or structure, foundation, it doesn't matter what you see. Here's another example. A baby just learning to walk might get up and all bobbly and wobbly. She can see, or he can see, he, she, whatever, whoever can see, but because the body's not stable, they're going to keep falling. Why? Because the body, the bones have to grow stronger. The body has to become more stable. And when the body becomes stable, now you can go and you could run track, right, Carter? Because the body is now working in conjunction with the vision. But when they do not work together, oh, listen to me. Your family will never prosper the way you want it to prosper until your family has one vision. And then that vision, if you are in church, that vision should be aligned with your church's vision. Because you cannot have multiple visions. You cannot have multiple eyes. And so, to give you some context, God gave Moses a vision, but Israel lacked the discipline. The moment he stood there at the burning bush, God began to tell him what he was going to do. He was installing vision into Moses. And then he had to go, and he had to now sell the vision to the body, to Israel. In telling them what God wanted, am I hearing a goat? Am I? Oh, it's a baby. Sound like a goat, I ain't gonna lie. Or a sheep. And so,
you heard it too.
And so, Moses, watch. God gave the vision to the shepherd. The shepherd had to sell the vision to the people. Then God did what? He did miracles, signs, and wonders in order to convince them and affirm the vision. The plagues were only about Israel. They were not about Egypt. God could have taken Egypt out the first time. There's a reason God kept hardening Pharaoh's heart. God wanted to show Israel more. Watch this. Hang with me. He wanted to convince them of the vision that Moses had relayed to them. That was the purpose for the plagues. Are you with me? Some of y'all seem like you give me a little cross-eyed look there. But there's a lot of things that happen. Number one, many never bought into the vision. And there's various reasons why they didn't buy into the vision. Some didn't buy into the vision because of fear. They were just afraid. They saw Pharaoh and his army. They were afraid. They were afraid they would die in the wilderness. They were afraid they would not finish the journey. They were afraid they wouldn't have food to eat. They were afraid they would never get into Canaan, and they were already giving up what homes they had already built back in Egypt. And fear caused them to never buy into the vision. You cannot allow fear. And if I put this just into context for you, I'll put it this way. If I know people, I know that everybody's not on board with the building program next year. Why? Because some people are afraid. Pastor, how are we going to pay for it? Ask God. Don't talk to me about he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills when you can't trust him to take care of what he needs to take care of. And so fear sometimes immediately begins to settle in. And so, one, many didn't buy into the vision because of fear. Number two, many did not buy into the vision because they had personal agendas. Or they had issues with themselves. We'll just put it that way. But a personal agenda, and that would be like the Korahs of that journey. They were seeing differently. They tried to get the people to go back. They weren't real fond of the leadership that was there. They might have felt others should have been the pastor or the leader or the shepherd. And because of those personal agendas, they never got to see the vision fulfilled. Sometimes I wonder, based off all the people that told us we shouldn't build, we should never build, we wouldn't finish it. And sometimes I wonder what they would think if they were still here today. But they weren't. You know why? Because God swallowed them up. Why? Because God will not have dueling visions in a church. You can't have it. And so you've got to eliminate those that want to see differently, that want to take the body a different direction. Now, I don't mean that in an unkind way. I'm just telling you as a fact. You can take this Exodus from Egypt and you could preach up from it every day of your life, and there's always something new you could find. Are you with me or are you bored? And so God had to get the Korahs out of the way. It's a sad day when you got to get rid of the Korahs out of the way. These weren't vagabonds or misfits. They were princes and rulers. Some of the upper echelon of the leadership. Because sometimes those in leadership want to have their own vision. I've told people more than once, if you don't like the way we're doing it, go start a church. And I mean it. And not one of them ever took me up on it yet. Because you'll find out it's not all what it appears to be. And when you think sometimes that the pastor is acting out on his own ambitions, just remember, Israel thought many times that Moses was acting without the authority of God. Number three, others couldn't buy into the vision because they were always complaining, too busy complaining. Their eyes were on other things. They would complain that they didn't have enough of this, complain they didn't have enough of that. Complain, 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 complain. It's really hard to have a vision when you're just complaining. That's why you've got to be very careful When in your life you go through things, you cannot let yourself become a complainer. Even though that might not be your intention, it will rob you of the vision that God is trying to get you to follow. Because God always knows where he's taking you. And we have to trust the vision. God, I wish I could. Next, many couldn't buy into the vision because of their lack of faith. Whether you want to believe it or not, I genuinely believe sometimes the prayers of the shepherd saves people from hell. You say, can you prove that biblically? 100%. That would be a conversation between God and Moses when God wanted to kill all of them. And Moses said, repent. You can't do that. What are you talking about? What will the Egyptians say? They'll say you couldn't bring them into their promise. And so sometimes because of our lack of faith, we need somebody that will have faith for us. But if you can't, you don't have to have the faith always to follow the vision, but you got to have the trust to follow the vision. Because we won't always have the same level of faith. We'll all be at different places in our life when it comes to faith. And I know I can even hear some of you right now. I can hear you. Well, it's not always a lack of faith, Pastor. It is. It is. Everything is about faith. Everything is about faith. Every moment of your life is about faith. Sometimes you just don't realize it. You say, give me an example. I'll give you a great one. You're planning on getting up and going to work tomorrow and doing whatever you got to do. How do you know you're going to be alive? You haven't thought about it, but you have enough faith to believe that you're going to wake up tomorrow morning. You might be making plans for vacation next year. How do you know you're going to be able to go? How do you know some tragedy won't befall you? How do you know you won't change? But see, we get up and we move in faith, but we don't always realize it. But when we have to exercise that faith, when that faith goes against the grain, when it goes against our own wishes and our own will and our own desires because we've laid treasures up on this earth, now it becomes a problem. And then the struggle begins. We don't call it a struggle. We just have odds with the church. But I will take you back if thine eye be single. If thine eye be single, we've got to see one vision. That's the vision that is sown from the pulpit. And you have to sow vision for your own family and for your own home. Not seeds of dissent or resentment. That's not vision. I was talking to Bishop Ellis today. And we just got talking. He said, it's just amazing. He said, over the years, the people that have left church and never sought any counsel. And I begin to think of how many did that here. Why? Because they had their own sight, their own vision. They didn't share. But see, if you share in the vision, if your eye is single, then you'll seek counsel. If the counsel does not see the same way you do, if that counselor has any wisdom and backbone, he'll say or she'll say, I'm not feeling that. And then it's up to you whether you're going to follow that vision or follow your heart. Well, I'm going to follow my heart. Wonderful. The heart is deceitful above all else. Follow your little heart till your heart is content and your family is lost. Had a family years ago came to me and I won't bore you with all of the details, but they said, we're going to go. We're God wants us to move to Florida. I said, well, God ain't said nothing to me. I'm supposed to be your pastor. We don't want nobody telling us any different. God, we know that we're in God's will. And so I said, okay, I won't tell you any different. I said, but the one thing I do want to say, if it's not God's will, I said, you will lose your children. They got offended at me, and they quit right there on the spot. Never came back. That was in 2019, To this day, they never moved to Florida. God changed his mind. God was like, you know what? I don't know what I was thinking. Now I'm going to be a little cocky here and sarcastic because I need to be. People that do that, you don't know. Listen to me. I want to say this as your friend. You don't know God's mind. But you know what we do? Because we're expert manipulators, not manipulating each other. We manipulate ourselves. Well, maybe God just wanted to teach me something. That's possible. But I would say if your eye was single, you might not have had to go through that storm. God might have taken the ship around it. And so they've never moved to Florida. One of their children was found, a 15-year-old was found almost a county over with some 22, 23-year-old dude a year later. Now lives the life of a homosexual. But oh, they were so smart in their vision. But if thine eye, if you truly, truly want, listen, I know I got to hurry, and I know this talking doesn't work for you tonight. I feel like it's all flat. You teenagers that want to run out of the house. Listen, we were all there. We were all teenagers at one time. We all felt the same way. You don't have a clue in the cost of living. And I'm not trying to be funny. Groceries have doubled in the last 5 years. If you make 10 bucks an hour, congratulations. 1 hour of work will help buy you a pound of bologna. You ain't got the bread yet. You have to borrow money for that. And you got to buy toilet paper. And for some people, a lot of it. And you need to buy tissue. And you need to buy plates and silverware. And you need to pay a gas bill. And you got to buy milk. And you need to buy cereal. And you got to buy whatever else. Microwave, whatever your fancy is. And you got to pay rent. And then you got to pay insurance. And then you got to pay a car payment. If you don't have a car payment, you're going to be paying for repairs. And if you're really unfortunate, you're going to be doing both. A car payment and repairs. Then you got to pay car insurance. And if you're younger, it's way high. And I ain't touched the tip of the iceberg yet. But if your eye was single, you would seek counsel first from your parents. What do you think? And when it comes to our walk with God, I wish I could get somebody to hear what I'm trying to say. Our eye must be single. There's safety there. When we're seeing the same thing, there's safety. God wants to spare us some of the heartache we put ourselves through. Israel had to wander for 40 years. That was never in God's plan. It was never a part of his vision. His vision was to get them from Egypt into Canaan. And there you could prosper. But because of all of the aforementioned already, then fear. Fear's what plagued them when they climbed up the mountain and they were spying it out. And 10 of the spies said, we can't do it. 2 said, that's why it's important what leadership you have. Your leadership's got to have the same vision as the leader. If you have a separate vision, it'll collapse. And so the last one, there were those that refused, just flat out refused to buy into the vision. They just refused. They didn't want no part of it. I told you we should have never left Egypt in the first place. You should have just left me in the world. You should have never knocked on my door. You should have never given me a flyer. You should have never put me in leadership. I didn't want the pressure anyway. I didn't want none of that. They just refused to buy into the vision. But then there was a generation that did buy into the vision. But in that journey, God had to weed a whole bunch of these people out. I don't want to be the guy that God has to weed out. The vision is fulfilled through much tribulation. Honey, if you want to come play for me, if you would, please. That way they'll know I'm coming to a close. I was talking to a pastor today, and he was sharing with me that another pastor, he said, just pray for him. He said, it's been a horrible year. Well, I didn't tell him, but I thought, that was me last year. And I know some other pastors somewhere else, they had a horrible year too, and somebody else somewhere maybe 3 years ago had a horrible year, and you know, as a child of God, when you go through that tribulation, it tends to rock your vision. It tends to shake your faith. You might, for just a brief moment, take your eyes off the wheel and look at something you shouldn't look at, which could cause you to crash or whatever. See, the fulfillment of the vision comes with much tribulation. Why? Because God is trying to strengthen the body. The vision is the leader of the body, but he's got to strengthen the body. He's got to make the body capable. Again, you can have a vision to build, but if you don't have the people, you don't have people that will give in faith, you don't have people that will trust where God is taking you, it's all for naught. And you might have to wait another 40 years. And so there will be obstacles in the way. Right now, some of you have obstacles that are in the way of your vision. You were doing great, you were soaring high, and now this mountain just jumped right out in front of you. I want you to know, a part of the fulfillment of God's vision are obstacles and tribulation. It is. I was thinking, and I shared just briefly, the different ways that God brings different people into their ministries. And Saul, in search of his father's livestock, winds up there before the prophet. And there, God begins his ministry over livestock. The same can be said about David. David was a shepherd. David wasn't even allowed to get in the lineup when the prophet came looking for the next king. He wasn't even considered. He was off somewhere else. But God had brought the man to his doorstep. He brought the right man that would say, I'm not feeling this. I know some of these guys are probably qualified, but I'm not feeling it. There's got to be somebody out there somewhere. Well, there's David. And he went and got David, and the rest is the end. And then you have Esther, who wound up there, want to put her there in front of the king's eyes, one of the ladies in waiting. With any luck, maybe he'll fall in love with her and she'll be the next queen. And she was. But she didn't know that one day God had positioned her not for glamour and for glory, but to be a voice for the Jews when there was no other voice to speak for them. Why? Because she bought into the vision. She might not have understood it then, but she bought into it. The list goes on. God does things through unorthodox ways to fulfill his vision. And so I'm saying that to you to help you understand. Obstacles and trouble and tribulation and setbacks are not a sign that you are not on the right path. To the contrary, I would say for the most part, sometimes it's a sign that you are. God might put you at a crossroad and make you choose. It's all choice. We choose heaven, we choose hell. But we don't do it directly because nobody would choose hell. But in our choices, we choose. And when they sinned, Moses said, if you're on the Lord's side, choose to come over here. Gives us this choice. And I'm saying that to you because of this. Because it was not long ago I was praying and I asked God to move on the hearts of people. And the Lord said to me, you have to give them a call to respond to. You have to give them an opportunity to respond. And so that means you got to go and you got to say, thus saith the Lord, I want to bring you out of this place and I want to bring you into a land that flows with milk and honey. But you're going to have to trust me. It's going to be a little bit of a bumpy journey. And I really feel like the Lord has just kind of moved in for a moment. But if you don't give them a call to respond to, they'll never respond. And sometimes that vision just doesn't make any sense. You do realize there's water in front of us. There's no way to go to the left or right, and we definitely can't go back. You brought us here to die. But God had already had a way. Listen to me. I'm finishing. If God calls you, God makes the way. But some of you people got to stop knee-jerk reaction decisions. You got to stop the moment things go wrong. You want to burn up life trying to fix it. Maybe God wants you to sit still for a moment and see the salvation of the Lord, not of yourself. Because I can assure you, if you step out of God's will, you're going to wind up with the same problems down the road. I promise you. God, help me help them to see what I'm trying to help them see, what I see tonight. Help them see it, God. Let something, I pray, click in their spirit to help something resonate. But see, you got to follow this vision that I'm preaching to you tonight. You got to say, God, make my eyes single. I don't want to see my own way. I don't want to see any other way. I want to see your way, God. Make my eye single. So, understand that there are obstacles standing in the path of your vision. There are obstacles standing in the way of where God is taking you. And only God knows why. I can't always, I wish I had more answers sometimes for people. I wish I did. God, give me an answer. Give me something. And sometimes God just says, just tell them to keep walking. But they don't see a way forward. God, I already made a way. I had the way planned before you ever even got out of Egypt. Listen to me. You got out of this world. You got out of darkness, and God brought you into light. But he's not done yet. There's an earthly reward, and there's a heavenly reward. The earthly reward is God's will for your life. That's a reward. To be able to be in the kingdom of God, to be able to be used of God in any way that he sees fit, that's a privilege and a blessing and an honor. It's not a treachery. It's not something that I don't look forward to. I love it. I thank God for the privilege of it. And then we know we have a heavenly reward. You can't ever stop thinking about your heavenly reward. You can't ever take your eyes off your heavenly reward. Why? Because Satan will let you, he'll take the path that God has put you on, and he'll cause you to believe somebody messed up somewhere, and there's no point in trying anymore. There's no point in going on. There's no point in sticking it out. I've been sticking it out. Nothing's changed. Nothing's different. I'm here to tell you tonight, if your eyes will be single, your body will be full of light, and there is no darkness that can dwell in light. And maybe for you that means something physical. Maybe it's something spiritual. There's the depression that would go. There's pain. There's heartache. There's misery. There's the wounds of your past. All of those things cannot withstand if your body is full of light. And if this body here will be full of light, if this body's eye will be single, that's why Satan tries to confuse some of you, and he tries to take you off on your own path, because he wants to cause the eye, the vision, to be divided. Because if the vision is divided, instead of 10 years, it might take you 20. If the vision is divided, instead of next year, it might be 5 years. Because God has to get that junk out of there to keep the vision single. If thine eye be single, your whole body is full of light. Stand with me if you would. I told somebody today, I felt like the Lord had showed me something for them. Not I felt like, I know what I felt. I know what I saw. And I said, I need to tell you what God has shown me, but I'm afraid to. Not because I'm afraid of how you'll respond, not because I'm afraid to speak it, because it seems so trivial compared to what you're going through. Why would God ask something so silly? And then I thought about Naaman. Why not just have the prophet come to Naaman and lay hands on him and he recover. And Naaman even so much said so when he was asked to dip in the river Jordan. Or there's certainly there's other better places to dip, cleaner water. But see, God sometimes asks trivial things of us. Why? To see if we'll follow his vision. Oh God, help us to see. Let our eye be single tonight. Let the eye of every family be single. I pray against the spirit of division in every home right now. I rebuke in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ every foul spirit that has continued to strive to keep people separated and divided, husband and wife, to keep them seeing different things. I bind that spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I call upon you today to do the same in your own home. God, let our eye in our home be single. And then I call upon you to say, God, let our eye in this church be single. Let it be single. I want to see what you want me to see. It doesn't matter where it takes me. Listen to me. The things that you're experiencing, I'm talking to some of you right now. I'm talking to you. You need to open up your ears. The things that you're experiencing, the pressure that you're feeling, God has allowed to happen in your life in order to squeeze some of your past out, to squeeze some of your past thinking. It makes you feel vulnerable, but that's where God needs you. Don't let your lack of faith cause you not to inherit your promise. Let your eye be single. Buy into the vision. Buy into the vision that's being cast. Buy into it. When I tell you, I'm asking you for your comfort. When I say God's going to fill it, he's going to keep filling it, and he's going to keep filling it, and he's going to keep filling it. If our eye be single. Listen to me. This is the last thing I'm going to say. If we will have one vision in home, in church, we will be like a one-eyed giant. Nothing will be able to stop the church. There's no devil in hell. There's nothing that will be able to stand in the way of what God has purposed to do. There is Israel, there are no walls. There are no Canaanites. There are no Hivites. There are no Jebusites. There is nothing and nobody that will stand in the way, but those 10 spies did not have the vision that Moses brought to them. Their eye was not single. Jesus, help us to see the same thing right now. I pray, let our eye be single. God, let our eye be single. Let our eye be single. I pray in the Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Jesus. Trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Blessed assurance. Yes, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. It's born of his spirit and washed in his blood. And what he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. Oh, yes, I trust in God, my Savior, the one. trusting God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
I told somebody recently that needs a miracle. I told him, I've never told anybody this. I said, I see your miracle so clear. I've never seen somebody receive or have a promise of a miracle so clear. I said, I just know it. It's there. The healing is already there. But God, how do I help them to see what I'm seeing? How can I relay that? I'll admit to you, I don't always have the best words to do that. And so all I can do is with passion tell you, this is what I see. And that's what I see. And I'll tell you what I see for this church. Nothing but going up. Nothing but going up. Nothing but more souls. Nothing but growth. I see it. I feel it in the Holy Ghost. I see it as I'm talking to you. And that all began with a dream that God gave me 5 years ago. And I feel like we're right there on the cusp. And that's why we're going to build and got to build. Because God is going to keep making the way. Somebody claim it right now. Somebody claim it. Claim it in your home and claim it in your life. And don't stop claiming it. Even when you don't see it, don't stop. Hallelujah.
And I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. And I trust in God, my Savior. In God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I sought the Lord, and I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. And I trust in God,
Together, and when we're finished praying, when I'm done, you can pray as long as you want. Please don't think that because there's no one up here saying anything that that cuts the whole service off or your prayer time with God. Please feel free to continue on. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for the man of God that brought forth the word, and I thank you for the word. I thank you for his willingness, his preparation. God, I thank you for vision. Lord, I thank you for your will. Jesus, because I know that according to Jeremiah and the Bible, we know that you have plans for us that are for peace, for prosperity, for a hope, and a future, God. May we not let ourselves or allow ourselves to become distracted or to get too stuck in the trenches of life, Lord, and allow it to muddy up, God, some of our promises or visions for the church. May we stay on course, Jesus, and I pray that you'd give us strength. The Bible says that we can do all things through Christ, who strengthens us, God. So give us strength to keep the course. Give us strength to wake up another day when we feel like we are not able to, Lord. When we feel like we're just going to crumble and fall. Pick up the pieces, God. I pray that we would be in agreement with one another, bearing one another in a love that's greater than we have for our own self, being full of selfless ambition instead of selfish ambition. I pray that we would care and we'd worry and we pray for the well-being of our brothers and sisters in Christ in this wonderful body. Lord, may you continue to do what it is you want to do, and may our willingness, God, only allow you to move without hindrance in our lives and in this church. God, we pray this all in the wonderful, amazing, mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.